We are making Jeff stay home from church for two full weeks, two midweeks and two Sunday services, because that stupid mask he wears on his face. It's a New York Yankees mask, and that's not allowed here. When I first saw him, I said, why are you using toilet paper for a mask? And I said, okay, well, if you're just going to keep wearing that thing, just don't come back until a couple of weeks. But hopefully he'll get the point when he's home, and he'll repent for his disobedience. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, anyways, now when people don't see him for next 2 weeks, they'll think, wow, pastor's tough. He is tough. He means business about this baseball stuff. But John chapter 4 and verse 23, let's go there. John chapter 4 and verse 23. I'm excited. Praise the Lord. I had the privilege yesterday to speak on some of these things with the homeschool group. One of the families out in the Allegheny area had asked me to speak on this. And so I was up yesterday at 3:30 in the morning walking my dog and just meditating on what I was going to share with them. And as I was meditating, it was prompted in my heart that we need to share some of these things here. And so I'm excited about that because there's lots of different directions we could go. But when God points some things out, it's always special. And he always leads you in what to preach. But, you know, it's just like something like that I wasn't expecting to share here. But, Father, we love you tonight so much. We're in awe of you. We're smitten by you and your mercy and your goodness and your love. Thank you for being so kind to us. Thank you for being so loving to us. Father, this message is important to me because it's important to you. Father, when you request things, not just in the, I don't just mean because you put it on my heart to share. I mean what the scripture says here in this verse, Father, it means something to you. And so it means something to me. And so, Father, help me to say what needs to be said. Maybe may I present it in a way that is a blessing to people with boldness, with utterance. Father, may I speak as the oracles of God. And Lord, we thank you. All this is going to do for us if we'll take it to heart and be doers of this word is draw us closer to you. And you said if we draw close to you, Father, you draw close to us. Lord, we need more of you and less of us. And so help us tonight. Father, I thank you for what we'll accomplish in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, in John chapter 4 and verse 23, Jesus is saying, and of course, the story leading up to this is Jesus at the well, and he reads this woman's mail, but Jesus goes on and talks about, because she was talking about worship, and so Jesus starts talking about worship, and Jesus said in John 4 and verse 23, says, the hour cometh, and now is. So how many of you know now is right now? He said, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God, verse 24, is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And, you know, I was mentioning how when I was praying that this message is important to the Father because he's requesting something. Well, it's important for me to obey anything he says, you know, when he tells me to do something, to preach a message, of course, I know he's requesting something. But here it says right here in verse 23 that your heavenly Father's seeking something. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Amen. He's seeking people to worship him. Yes. Do you see that there? Yes. He's seeking it. That's not a casual term, to seek for something. He's looking for his people to worship him. Amen? Hallelujah. He's requesting that. In fact, that word seek means to desire it, to require it, and to demand it. Didn't Jesus say in verse 24, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So they go hand in hand, worship, spirit, and truth. And we'll look at that. But to start, he is looking for worshipers. Amen. Amen. Now, this message tonight is not for the casual Christian. What do I mean by the casual Christian? The one that just plays games with God, that just plays games with church, that isn't really interested in knowing Him more and growing. But for people that want to please Him, for people that want to go deeper with Him, for people that actually care what the Father's take is, this message is for you. I have always, you know, it's amazing to me, eternity's placed in the hearts of men, you know, and when you're younger, you know, your spirit, before it gets really corrupted with the world and things, it's alive unto God. And ever since I was a little boy, even growing up and being a teenager, you know, actually, Pastor Tim Stallman and I had a dream about him last night that our churches were in a rivalry. Like, it was... Now, him and I have gone to blows a couple times. It hasn't been any time recent since we've been Christians, but it was one of the most intense, bizarre dreams I have ever had. And it was odd. I mean, it was, wow, here we go. Church against church, and they outnumber us a little bit. But you know what I found in the Bible? That when people were outnumbered, God showed up for those people. So hopefully nobody from Jamestown's watching this. We're going to tell Pastor Tim. They're going to come get us. They're going to be marching. But even Pastor Tim and I, we'd sit there in the woods with cases of beer being totally wasted in our minds, and we'd look at each other and we'd say, what are we doing? Or we'd leave a party and say, we know there's something more. We know there's something more. You know, on Christmas morning as a little boy, you know, I can't wait to get to the presents, but every year I'd sing Happy Birthday to Jesus before I even knew anything. And just, I'd be crying on my bed as a little boy, just so thankful for Jesus, you know. Well, what is that? I've always had a desire to please God. Amen. To just love Him and to please Him. And so, to me, when the Father says, I'm seeking something, that means something to me. That means I want to make sure I'm hitting the mark here then. And I'm here to tell you that, you know, I've had a chance to lead worship for years, going back to the Jamestown Church for years. I led their worship, you know. They just had to find some, you know, unskillful worship leader in Reverend Tony Jones. I mean, I had to step down and they had to just find anybody they could. And so now, I guess it's the Slam Jamestown night tonight. Although, everything I'm saying, I'm being sarcastic, Jamestown. And, you know, they just had to find him off the street. And, I mean, how are you going to fill these shoes, you know? I mean, his voice and musical talent has nothing on me. Nothing on me. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I've had the pleasure of watching people and being around people, and also in correction of my own self, there's not a lot of people hitting the mark when it comes to worship. And what's interesting is he says, the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers. Well, if there's true worshipers, there can also be false worshipers. And you can think you're hitting the mark, and you can think, you know, I told you the story about Jill and I, you know, the girl that blessed me with being her maid of honor in her wedding. I have an interesting life. I mean, I'd done it all, you know, and before she got married and we come out of high school, we were going to go to college together, and we were going to go to Pitt Bradford, you know, and, well, we were going to look at it anyways, and you just have to hop on 86 and go east, you know, and I'd never go east on 86. I always go west on 86 because that's where to go buy my school clothes in Erie. Out in Erie, well, I hopped on, and it's supposed to take 45 minutes to get to Erie from there. It takes 45 minutes to get to Bradford from there. And when 45 minutes came by, and we're not seeing the school, and we're starting to see the Erie Mall. It's like, Houston, we have a problem here. I didn't see any signs. So I saw a sign for Edinburgh. I saw a sign for Penn State Barrand. Where in the world is Pitt Bradford? Well, the whole time we're singing and rejoicing, thinking we're hitting the mark, and we're going the wrong way. And I'll tell you, I don't want to go the wrong way in something that my Father actually put it out there that He's looking for. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, He gave you the Son of His Son so you could go to heaven. Yeah. He's blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Yeah. He set you on high. The least we can do is what He wants. Yeah. Give Him something that He wants. Praise God. And remember this as we get into tonight, because it will step on some toes and it will challenge you. to be a true worshiper, because a true worshiper looks and sounds like something. Remember, your job, I should say, the Bible's job is not to conform to you. Well, this is how I think. I want to worship, and this is what I want to do, and this is what my opinions are. But the Bible says something completely different. In fact, I'll tell you a story. This is a true story. Remember the story I told on Sunday in the offering about the woman that was struggling financially, and she wrote on her blue card that she was, and the Holy Ghost revealed to me what her problem was, that she just was a tither, not a giver. Well, one time I met with somebody, this was years ago, and they're going through something. And they're telling me what they're going through, and they're telling me their problem. And the Holy Ghost spoke up and said, they won't worship me according to truth, spirit and truth. Well, you think, what do you mean? Are blessings depend on that? Well, there are blessings for worship, and we'll see if we get into that. But my point, the point came down to this, is that it wasn't because they were ignorant of what God was looking for. I made that statement to them, shared with them about worship, and you know what their take was? I know this already. I don't care what the Bible says. I'm not doing that. Well, the reason that things are plugged up and clogged up is because if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Well, if the Bible says that they that worship him, go to verse 24 if you would, please. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That's not a suggestion. That's what he's looking for. So our job is find out what that means, praise God. And if you'll, number one, they're both accomplished. Him seeking it and not, like he wants to, he seeks it. I want to give that to him. I don't want to be a false worshiper. Both those things are accomplished. When you worship him in spirit and in truth, you'll give him what he's seeking. Amen? Hallelujah. You'll give him what he's seeking, and it'll put you in the category of not being a false worshiper. Well, we need to find out what it is, right? And we need to know, what, first of all, what is worship? Because if you go back to 23, it says, the hour is coming now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him. Keeps talking over and over about worshiping him, worshiping him. And we can look in spirit and truth and what spirit and truth is. But first of all, spirit and truth have their own spirit behind it. Just like faith, there's the spirit of faith, the go-get-it mentality, the attitude. Well, it's the same thing when it comes to worship. We need to see, what does the Bible consider worship? Right? Because he's telling us here over and over, and it's one word that's used in the Greek, and it's the Greek word proskuneo, if that's how you pronounce it, but that's what the Greek word is. And it's one Greek word that he keeps saying over and over, that worship me this way. Worship in spirit and truth. They must worship me that way. And we need to be shown what it is. You know, I told the story, this wasn't too long ago, so I'm sure you remember. Y'all remember the floss? Yeah. Yes. Isn't that like something like, I still don't know how to do it. One day, I thought I was rocking the floss in the living room in front of everybody. And they were just laughing and laughing and laughing. I thought, yeah, I know the dance is pretty funny. No, we're not laughing because we think the floss is necessarily funny. It's funny, you're doing it, but that's not even close to what it is. And I still can't get it right. I can't do the switch over. And I needed someone to show me. And so Caleb got up and Abby got up and flossed away for me. How many here have tried to do the floss? Raise your hand. Okay, we got some flossers. Who here is, I'm not going to ask you to do it, but who's here confident in their flossing ability? Sarah, ooh, Sophie, okay. We got, all right, Joey. Okay, we might have a flossing team here. Right? I won't ask you to come and do it, but I'm not good at the floss. I'm not good at the floss, but I need someone to show me what it was, because if I don't see what it is at first, and you have to understand what he's saying when we worship him, because so many people put their own spin on worship. But first, it starts with an attitude or a mentality. Let me read this. Now, when I read this, don't get nervous and don't feel like we're beating you up, but I want you just to honestly ask yourself. There's a couple different platforms for worship. When we stand up together to sing and to praise him with before the music, that is supposed to be praise and worship. There ought to be times at home that you're engaging in praise and worship. What he's done for us, you know, I got to tell my kids today, and I won't tell which kid this was. You can guess. Use your own imagination. Flip a coin if you need to. I don't care. But anyways, one of our children came out to get their dinner tonight and then bring it back into the playroom and had their little iPad on to watch something while they were eating. It's kind of chaotic on Wednesday nights to get fed and everything like that, whatever. And grabbed the bowl and walked away, and I flipped. I said, "What in the world? What are you doing? We're not hogs around here." That's what I said. I said, "We have a bunch of hogs in this house." I started snorting like a pig, didn't I? Unacceptable to not what? Say thank you. Unacceptable to not show gratitude. Unacceptable to not to show your thankfulness. It's unacceptable for us with what the Father's done for us to not have times of thanksgiving, to not have times of gratitude and praise. We're not a bunch of hogs. Hogs just take their dinner and go slop it down, right? No, we get blessings and we're thankful. He's done so much for us. But in that place of here at church in the corporate, because there's corporate worship, and we worship, it's for a purpose. It's to get our attention on Him. It's to bring the anointing in. And when we worship at home, same thing. Gratitude, thanksgiving. Listen to what the word prosneo means. And you tell me if this is how you worship the Father. Because remember, this is what He's looking for. It means to fawn or to crouch, and I'll get into that word here in a second. To prostrate oneself in homage or in honor, to reverence, to adore. When you worship God, that word fawn means this: showing exaggerated flattery or affection. I'm here to tell you, as someone that stood in front of people for over a decade and led worship, there's a whole lot of people that are not showing God during worship time exaggerated affection or flattery. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Are we going to do another song? I wonder what's going on at home. What am I going to eat when I go home for dinner? It's the truth. But we're worshiping Him. And how many times do we show adoration or reverence in our worship versus just going through the motions? That's what worship is loving on Him, adoring Him, showing Him affection and flattery, exaggerated. Amen. I won't tell the minister that it was, but Brother Kevin was talking to me about a minister, and there's a reason why I'm not going to share. It's nothing bad, but and they said that this person, the miracles, the signs, wonders, and miracles, and they were with them praying one time, and they said they never heard anything like it, how somebody just poured their heart out to the Father in such awesome reverence and honor and adoration and flattery. And yet so many people just praise God, praise God. Well, this is what the Father is looking for. He's looking for us to worship Him from the deepest places. Matthew 15 and verse 8. What are we trying to raise up? Real deal people that God's looking and saying, now see, I don't start the message with this, but maybe we'll finish if we have time's sake. There's a blessing to this that comes to the believer that actually, first of all, you're obeying the word. In Matthew 15 and verse 8, look what Jesus said. The people draw near unto me with their mouth, and they're honoring me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. How many of you know we can get away with some things in worship? To us. We can get away with some things to the worship leader. We can get away with some things. Why? Because we have motions that we can go through. We can lift our hands, and we might see that tonight. That's the right thing to do. And we can sing the songs. But we can go through the motions, and if this, our heart is not attached with the words and the raising of the hands. The Bible says their heart is far from me, and he says in verse 9, in vain, that means useless, it's worthless. Vain means it's pointless, it accomplishes nothing. In vain, they're worshiping me. You know what that disqualifies people from being able to say and do? I can worship God however I want to. No, there's a way. It's called spirit and truth, but it's spirit and truth coming from a place of reverence and awe and honor and flattery and affection on Him. Glory to God. Well, I'm just not a very affectionate person. Yeah, well, you know what else I am? I'm not a person who likes to get up in front of people either. But that's what God called of me, so I became it. It's the truth. I'm not a person that enjoys playing guitar, especially in front of people, or putting myself out there and singing, but there's a need and God called me to it, so I became it. It's the truth. Hallelujah. Well, this just goes against my personality. Yeah, we know. He didn't say worship me, show me adoration, exaggerated flattery, affection, fawn over me, adore me, honor me, pay me reverence if it's convenient. If that's your personality, no. True worshipers. He said in verse 8, their heart is far from me. And look at Psalms 111, verse 1. This is heart stuff tonight. Psalms 111, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Fully invested. Not distracted, not self-conscious, just me and the Father worshiping Him with my whole heart, praise God. Now he said to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, both of these things can be broken down in spirit and truth. Of course, number one, he's looking for people to worship him in spirit because that means you're his child, you're born again, and you can also worship him in the spirit through tongues. But what he's saying to you is I'm not looking for worship from a mental or an emotional. I'm looking at it from the heart of a person. Now remember, what pleases the Father? Faith pleases the Father. Faith pleases the Father. And so, the Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 10 that with the heart, man believes. Faith comes from the heart, but that's also where God wants you to worship from, is the heart or the spirit of man. Amen? And so many times, when people engage in worship, whether it be in a corporate setting or by themselves, if they even do it by themselves, they come from a mental or an emotional place. I'll give you some examples of why I say that. When people say, when they see what the Word says, and they say, I'm going to worship how I want to, how I feel, what are you saying? I am a carnal bucket. I want to do it how I feel, what's comfortable for me, what I think, what's convenient for me. That's not heart worship. Your spirit man lines up with what worship is. Your flesh may not, and your mind may not. To fawn over him, to adore him and reverence him, might not be what your flesh wants to do, might not be what your mind wants to do, but your spirit man does. Because Because your spirit man's lined up with the Word.
That's
why we renew our minds to this. Hallelujah. You know, unfortunately, and this is not to be critical, but it's just true, many churches in 2020 are built off an emotional, mental platform of worship. What do you mean, Pastor Mike? It's more about the entertainment of worship. It's more about the smoke and light show. Now, when I say that, you say, well, you're just saying that because it's just you and the ladies here and just you. But no, but I'm all for instruments. And I'm all for us growing the worship team. And we will. It will happen, praise God. But when we grow the worship team and we get more skilled musicians, the heart of what we do will not change. It will not become about the outfits. It will not become about how stylish and cool can the worship leader look. How rockin' can we get the people and get you know, how many times people have told me, this has happened several times, people have told me, Pastor Mike, I can't come to your church anymore. I've never heard the Word preached like you preach it, but your worship here is lacking. Well, naturally, they're right. Compared to other churches, naturally, it is lacking. We don't have a bass player. We don't have a drummer. We don't have skilled guitar players that can play leads and riffs and, you know, like a lead singer like a Reverend Tony Jones who's just, that's a worship leader. We don't have that. We don't, naturally. But we have the heart of worship here. Somebody leading it that loves the Lord and is pouring his heart out to the Father. How many times people have visited a church on vacation? You know what they come back and tell me? Oh, you should have heard the worship. Oh, the worship was awesome. Wait a second. What about the Word? It's amazing. Jesus, not one time was a worship team mentioned with him. Not one time was a worship team mentioned with Paul or any of the disciples. Doesn't mean there's not a place for it, but it wasn't the highlight. Or how many times, you know, when you're carnal, I wish they wouldn't do that song. I don't like when they do that song. You might not naturally like it, but if you can't worship to it, that's a you problem. Because the words, right? You know how else we know that people aren't coming from a place of the Spirit is when they violate, and this also goes with truth, when they violate Scripture when they sing songs. You gotta be careful what worship songs you're listening to. A lot of them are so unscriptural. Praise God. When people talk about how worship makes them feel. Worship's not about you. Oh, I sure hope Pastor Mike sings this song. Oh, he didn't sing that song. I'm gonna give half my effort today. I'm gonna kind of check out because I'm not a fan of this. I wish they'd stop singing this song. It's not about you. It's a time to love on Him. Why? He's seeking it. He's requiring it. He's demanding it. Praise God. We have changes to make, don't we? Praise God. We have changes to make. Worshiping from the Spirit. And then he says, from truth. Now, I won't take too much time on this and won't spend a whole lot of time, but truth is Scripture. God's Word is truth. God's not a liar. Everything that comes from Him is the epitome of truth. Amen. Well, we see, you can just go there real quick. Psalm 63. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I still think we have room to grow. Amen. Psalm 63 and verse 3. How many times Dr. Dufresne, I had the privilege of being in back rooms with Dr. Dufresne and going on trips that because of Pastor Michael, I would meet Dr. Dufresne in the hotel lobby with Pastor Michael and they had coffee. I don't like it. But they would have coffee and I'd get to sit there and listen or ride in a car with them or go to lunch with them. And Dr. Dufresne was a prophet of prophets. I mean, he just, the anointing on that man and how skillful he was. I mean, some of the things I saw him, I saw him before Pastor Tim and I ever preached a sermon. I saw him in a church of thousands of people in Canton, Ohio, come to us in the middle, in the sea of people, call both of us out and smack us both on the head and said, now you both preach the word. And we both had a calling. I saw him call people out, and I knew what was going on in their life, and he never met him from anybody, and I saw him speak, just read their mail and help, give them help. He operated in such a gift, and so many times he would talk about being in churches where they're worshiping, and the crowd is jumping and running and shouting and laughing, and on stage it looks like they're hanging the moon, and he would go back and he'd say, God wasn't in any of that. It was all a flesh show. It was all of just trying to rouse people's flesh up and get people excited. Not true worship. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I love watching the Dufresnes Church. The Dufresnes have talent in their church. Pastor Nancy has talent in her church, singers like that could be professional recording artists, musicians. And you know what songs, kind of songs they do? Same songs we do. You want to know why? Because the songs we do are worship songs. They're not stir up your emotions, just get your emotions going. And listen, a lot of the stuff on Christian radio is not worship. I'm sure it beats some of the stuff on the country station or the other stations, but it's not worship. And they don't all of a sudden get all these talented, because it's like, oh, maybe if we have talented musicians, maybe we'll play some of the stuff on the Christian radio station. No, we won't, unless it's worship to him. Some of the songs are on there, absolutely, but worshiping God, praise God. And in Psalm 63 and verse 3, he says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise thee. Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as the marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Who was this? Oh, only the guy that God said, I love his heart. I love David's heart. And David had some outward mess ups, didn't he? But God just said, his heart. His heart. Praise God. I want a heart like David. I want God to look at me and say, my boy, look at his heart. While the other people are saying, oh, this and this and that, and God's saying, but his heart. And David said, my heart is during worship to bless you. I'm going to do two things that are going to bless you. I'm going to open my mouth and praise you, and I'm going to lift my hands. Amen. Glory to God. We're not just trying to look charismatic. We're not just trying to look Pentecostal. The Pentecostals raised their hands. No, the worshipers raised their hands. The Pentecostals shout praises. No, the worshipers do. Right. Psalms 134 and verse 1. Excuse me. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which tonight stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. This isn't just a part we're playing to look like that church. We're bringing to him what he likes. And you can preach on this and still, and I'm not talking about first-time hearers of this. Listen, we all have to renew our mind. I'm talking about people that hear it over and over and still are gripping the seats. Are still unwilling. Why? Not a true worshiper. More, what are they? More mental. Yeah. Thinking about themselves. Now remember, what's the big deal about this? He's seeking this. Yes. That should be enough to you. Right. He's seeking this kind of a worshiper. Yeah. I want to be a true worshiper. Amen. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 over in the New Testament. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. I just want to say to all the kids tonight, man, you are all behaving and being so good. We have good kids around here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Things getting put in their little spirits. Yep. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says, "By him let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our silence." No. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Now, remember, there are outward actions. And you can go through outward actions and not have the inward there. You can. But what he wants is both. Yes, it blesses me when you lift your hands. Yes, it blesses me when you praise by your mouth. But when the hand raise and the mouth talk, it is connected with the heart. Say, well, how do I know if I mean it or not? Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever told somebody you love them?
Yeah.
Were you confused if you meant it or not?
Come on.
I told them I love them. I'm not sure I do. I can't figure it out. What do I do? No, you know if you meant it or not. You know if you just said it or went through the motions, or you know if you meant it. So when the devil tries to tell you, because that's, I'll tell you one thing the devil always bombards my mind is how fake I am. That when I'm alone with God and I'm pouring out to my heart to him, the devil says, "You don't mean it. You don't mean it." Well, I certainly do mean it. That's why I'm saying it. I love you, Lord. I worship you. And the devil will say, "You don't mean that." But you know if you mean it or not.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God.
1 Timothy 2 and verse 8. True worshipers. "I will therefore that men pray everywhere." You see, I thought we were talking about praise and worship. We are. Praise and worship is the highest form of prayer. Sometime I'll teach on the 9 different types of prayer, but the prayer of praise and worship is the highest form of prayer. Why? Because it starts out every one of the prayers, types of prayers, and it should finish every single one of the 9 types of prayer, or eight types of prayers. The prayer of praise and worship is the highest form of prayer. So when he's talking about prayer, he's also talking about praise and worship. He says, 1 Timothy 2:8, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands." What are we talking about? Worshiping him according to the truth of the scripture. He likes the hands to be raised.
Yes.
He likes to hear something.
Yeah.
And he likes it when your heart's attached to it.
Yeah.
Praise God. Now, just like in spirit was different things. Being born again gets you there. You have to start there and then you can worship in tongues. But also it's talking about worshiping from a spiritual place, a place of faith, not a place of emotion and just a mental ascent. But also with truth, there's truth of what the scripture says of how to worship, but there's also truth of what the scripture says that we ought to be worshiping. For example, true worship would be worshiping him according to who he is and what he's promised, regardless of what you're seeing and what you're experiencing. That's a true faith worshiper. What do I mean? When you're going through a sickness for 2 years, you can still walk down the road with your dog and cry out, "I praise you, Jehovah Rapha. You are healer. I praise you as healer." That's worshiping in truth. Or when you're broke and can't pay your bills, praising him and giving him thanks and worshiping him according to Jehovah Jireh. What are you doing? You're worshiping according to truth, not circumstance, not feelings. That's what he's looking for. I heard it put this way one time, and it makes so much sense to me. Worship and praise and worship go together. But if you really want to get right down to the details and the nitty-gritty, worship is fawning over who he is, and praising him is fawning over what he's done.
Amen.
Worship for who he is, praise for what he's done. Praise God. And they mix back and forth, obviously. But are you a true worshiper? If you're a true worshiper, you're worshiping him as healer when you're sick. Are you? Are you worshiping as provider? Are you worshiping as deliverer? Or are you complaining? Are you griping? Are you moaning? Are you groaning? True worshiper, rejoice in the Lord always. Even when you're sick, even when you're broke. Why? Because you're a true worshiper. You're worshiping by faith what you believe. Praise God. Now, I want to finish this message in the time that we have. Go to Psalm 22:3 about benefits. Real quick. Because it's not okay to be a true worshiper in your bedroom and a false worshiper in the sanctuary. It's not okay. I'll show you why it's not okay. Psalm 22:3 says this, "But you are holy, O that inhabit or dwell in the praises of Israel." One translation says, "You dwell in the praises of your people." Now, Norval Hayes, Signs, Wonders, and Miracles of His Ministry, Pastor Nancy had a minute according, or up in his last years, ran with Brother Hagin, you know, saw things happen, moved mountains, and he was big on worship. And he talked about how people don't receive, that the Lord told him that people don't receive, he said, "Here I am, I'm a God of healing, I'm a God of prosperity, I'm a God of this and that, but people don't receive these things because they don't worship me enough." And Pastor Nancy broke that statement down because it sounds like we're trying to hit a level of worship than we receive from him. No, what you have to understand is worship brings God on the scene. What do you mean God on the scene? Well, God is already everywhere. He's already everywhere. And when he goes somewhere, he goes somewhere. What do I mean? His abilities. His power, His might, His healing, His provision, His grace, His mercy, His favor, His protection. It goes with Him. Well, why then do a lot of people not receive from that? Well, for example, what did Brother Hagin say about hospital rooms? He said there's enough power in every hospital room to raise every sick person up from the dead. Well, of course there would be. God's in every hospital room. But just because God's everywhere doesn't mean God's getting, or people are getting what God has. We need His manifested presence to show up. And what Norval Hayes was saying was, the reason people don't get that is because they don't worship Him long enough for the glory to fall. And when the glory falls and the anointing comes in through worship, which I'll show you in a few scriptures here, chains are broken. Amen. And I'll just tell you from my own life, it corrected me so much. So many times spent questioning things, doubting things, complaining about things, wondering things, when that time could have been spent in worship in His presence, getting the anointing to fall, to break things, to set you free in areas. Praise God. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Now I want to show you why it's not okay to do this at home and not here, but also why we need to all be on the same page and be true worshipers. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Let's see where I want to go. Let's go to verse 13. Excuse me. "It came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one." Notice this. "To make one sound." You see that one sound? "To be heard in praising and thanking the Lord." And notice this. "And when they," everybody, all of them, one sound, "lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals, instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying," that's out loud together, a loud voice, "for He is good, His mercy endures forever." Now before we get into what happens, which most of you know, look at the setting of that church setting. You know, if I was a conductor, and we had the strings, and we had the horns, and we had the percussion or whatever, and I'm a conductor, we have the same piece of music. But, you know, the horn section, they decide to bring their own favorite piece of music, and the string section decide to bring their own, and even within the string, they all brought their own, and then brought, it's going to sound like a mess. It's going to sound like a mess, and you're not going to get anything accomplished. Right? That was, and here he points out. Now, We know that the New Testament sheds light on the Old Testament. In the book of Acts, go through the book of Acts, the church, the model church for us, the outline church, the template church, the very first church. And what were they doing all together? One heart, one mind, one sound, one accord. One heart, one mind, one sound, one accord. Not the people just in the front part of the church worshiping and hall hearts in and you know, then people, you know, that come in late in the back just doing what they want to do, and people that aren't comfortable, and this person, this spouse doing this and the other spouse doing this. No, the whole place was one sound, one mind, one heart, one accord. That's what's happening here. One sound, one accord. They're all in it together. And the Bible says that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Do you know what would happen to your life if we could get the glory to show up in our services? Well, look what happened here. Tangible things happened. It got cloudy in there. It got weighty in there. They couldn't even stand up. Now, look what it says. It says, then the house was filled with a cloud. Then the glory of the Lord came. Then the ministers couldn't stand. Well, was God already in that building? Yep. But His glory wasn't. His manifested glory wasn't. That's what we need. Oh, that's right. Philippians 4:18 says, I'll meet and supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. Amen. It's true. And that's what Norval Hayes was saying. All these needs that people have, they'd stay in worship long enough for the glory to fall and the anointing to come in. Go with me to Isaiah 63. Oh, we want miracles, signs, and wonders. Do we? Hallelujah. Praise God. He's faithful. Amen. Praise God. Go to 61:3, not 63:1. Isaiah 61:3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them, write that down here real quick. To mourn, give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. What's he saying? Heaviness or weightiness or oppression can be broken by praise. Well, how can it be broken by praise? Well, when you praise Him, the anointing shows up. The anointing shows up. When the anointing shows up, depression can't stay. Sadness can't stay when the anointing shows up. Some of us are getting our answers tonight. In His presence, oh, I'm always sad, I'm always depressed. Yeah, but in His presence, there's fullness of joy. Why do you think the devil fights you so hard? I'm preaching to myself to get into God's presence, because that's where your answers are. Acts 16, true worshipers. True worshipers. What's that mean? Fully invested. Attention on Him. Not self-conscious. Not worried about what people are thinking. Not worried about what's going on. Just, my sights are on You, Father. You know, we see a lot of things brought to light by natural examples to illustrate spiritual truths. We know the Father's, you know, the Father created us. He didn't have to create us. He created us to fellowship with Him. He loves us so much. He created us like Him, in His image, this creation. The animals don't have that privilege. The angels don't have that privilege. But we have that privilege. It's a rare thing when one of my children, again, you can guess, it's a rare thing when one of them, it's become a thing in my house now, where one of them crawl up with me and actually don't want anything from me. What are you smiling at? I thought it happened yesterday. This one child of mine crawled up and was laying on my chest while one other child of mine was playing a hunting game. I don't know if this is giving it away or not, which child is which. And I thought, wow, this is nice. Until the one child that was laying on me said, after about 5 minutes, looked up at me, "Daddy, I came up here and laid with you for 5 minutes. Now can we go to Walmart and get that thing that she wanted?" I thought I had it. Don't be telling different stories down there. I thought, but do you know how special it is when that actually happens? And there's some things we got to iron out, you know, carnality, selfishness. We're working on some things. You know how special it is, though, when my children come to me and just want to love on me and not need or want anything? How rare is it when we just go to the Father? I'm not here for anything. I'm not here to ask you for anything. I'm not here to try to get you to do something for me. I just want to be here to love you. That's special. Praise God. In Acts 16, we know this. Paul and Silas, verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Notice this. And the prisoners heard them. They didn't care. They needed the anointing. They didn't care about how they felt. They didn't care about what it looked like. They didn't care about circumstances. They just praised God. And it's what's interesting, it says in verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. Well, why in the world, where was the great earthquake at 11:30 or 11? What happens when you'll praise and worship, the anointing will fall, help will come. Amen. Amen. The answers show up. And it happened for Paul and Silas, but I love the fact that the Bible made it a point to say the prisoners heard them. How many times in the book of Acts? They lifted up their voice together. See, you might not think you're doing anything that's hurting the service when you choose to just stay in your mind and in your flesh and not renew your mind to what God wants. And you just think, well, what's the big deal if I do this or not? Big enough deal that every time it seems to point out about this corporate worship that they did it together, they did it loud, they didn't care. They all were on the same page. Unity. We've talked about unity. We've talked about agreement. The power of agreement. We're a corporate body. When someone comes in and stomps their foot down, plants their flag and draws a line and says, I'm not going to do this, just get this over with, you are dousing the service. It's the truth. We need people to renew their minds to what God wants and then bring that to the service. Isn't that what we need financially? We need people on the outside to renew their minds to tithes and offerings and then be able to bring it here so we can do what God wants us to do. We need people to renew their mind that they're supposed to serve in church and then they come in here and they be a blessing to the kingdom. It's the same thing. It's the same thing for worship. We need people to renew their mind to this stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, do you love them tonight? Let's stand up. We're going to sing that last song again. I love you, Lord. Now, here's your chance to practice. We're not putting on a show, but love him from your heart. And you know that at least looks like something. It at least looks like hands raised. Just so you know, you can put your hand down if it gets tired. My daughter wants to look the part all the time. She doesn't want dad to see her. I see her propping her arm up with one hand, holding it up. Praise you, Father. Just love him. Just love him. Praise you and magnify you and glorify you. We love you, Lord. Before we even play any music, let's just praise him. Love you. Love you, Father. Love you so much. Praise your holy name. Of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for healing us. Jehovah Rapha, we praise you. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for being more than enough. We glorify your holy, holy name. Father, be magnified. Father, be lifted up. We praise you and worship you. We glorify you and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, appreciate you. Don't forget to put your offering in. We'll see you Sunday.